Hi church, and welcome to Sunday's socials. Welcome to online church. It is a privilege, as always, to jump right in and share the word of God today with you. We are journeying together, busy with the Holy Spirit series, trusting that we will walk with the counselor, the helper, and the Spirit of Christ that we really need in these times we live in. Edna brilliantly shared last week on the last two fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so now we're trusting that the Lord is cultivating over time and through process character fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. And so I trust that in love the Lord will do right, just write that in your life as He will in mine. And so we're moving over to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We said that there's nine fruit of the Holy Spirit and then nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is a very exciting part, albeit I believe we're going to lay a quick foundation today to make sure that what we believe, what we grow in, and the power that we're trusting to walk in is indeed biblical and the Lord's heart of love for us all. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, you can go and read it at home so long. We're going to spend some time there and just go through these gifts that the Lord has given to us. Grace gifts to His body, to His bride, and to me and you individually, to bless one another. So let's just quickly look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to spend time in this. We're going to lay a foundation today, but let's just read together from verse 7. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one person is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. It's a gift of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, a gift of faith. Maybe you have a gift of faith that'll bless the bride in the season. Another, gifts of healing by the Spirit. To another, performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's just discernment, but a gift of discernment. To another, different kind of languages. And to another, interpretation of languages. And so there's lots of confusion out there, and there's lots of hype and hysteria and sometimes just outright nonsense about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at the Word, we're going to look at testimonies, and we're going to trust that we are embedded in a truthful heart of God for the gifts that He has bestowed upon us as a people. Let's quickly pray as we trust that the Holy Spirit will do just that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for a moment together. We thank You that we need not talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts as if the Holy Spirit, as if You are far off. You are right where we are sitting today. You are with us. Emmanuel, God with us. His Spirit with us. His dynamos power with us. And the One that has given us these gifts with us. Holy Spirit, will You please come and teach us? Lead us into all of the truth. Will You expel and take away any hype, any sensationalism, any nonsense, any hurt that we might carry in our hearts and understanding? And will You just come with the truth of the Word, the purity of Yourself, embedded in the love of God for this church community and for those that listen, and make this their own, to be a people that move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Will You come with a fresh anointing? Sal U ons salf, sal U ons bekragtig om in die gawes van die Gees te stap. In Jesus' naam. We look to You, Jesus, to help us and to lead us and to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm excited about this, but as I said, it is also necessary that maybe we quickly look at a foundation firstly. What are we building on when we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Now, we know what they are at this stage, and we'll break them down at a later stage. But a gift is, at the end of the day, a spiritual endowment, a miraculous faculty. Guys, the gift of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. There's no other logical and physical way in which we can explain the occurrences where it manifests. It is God coming with His amazing, loving right hand and touching us in our humanity, doing massive things in our life. Before we continue, maybe it's also good to know that we need to tilt the ground. It's just what I sensed in this week in preparation is that maybe my heart is hard in certain areas. And so for Johan, for instance, to plant new seeds and to see something grow and bear fruit, he knows that you need to tilt. You need to tilt the ground. You need to break the fallow ground. You need to break through the hard ground, so to speak. And so like with my heart, maybe even one or two of us, where my heart has grown cold, or where my heart is not in a good place, and where I need to be stirred to good works and love and faith and faithfulness, it's good to just maybe tilt my heart and open up that ground so that the seed can fall where it can produce fruit at the end of the day. As we've journeyed together on this Holy Spirit series, we know by now that the Holy Spirit is still very much a part of our lives, as it was in the early church. After Christ, after the Spirit was poured out and received by believers, according to John 7 and all of the New Testament, as much as they had the Holy Spirit in that time, we have the Holy Spirit today still with us. And so, do we have the Spirit? Yes. Do we still see that there's miracle signs and wonders in the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in this day? Yes, obviously we do. Have I experienced these gifts? Have you experienced these gifts of the Holy Spirit? I bet you have. I've experienced all of them. Did Christ walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the gifts? Did the apostles, the first disciples, walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and His gifts? And the early church, did they walk in the fullness? Yes, of course, they did. Have we experienced the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church community? Yes, we have. Public tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, words of knowledge, healings now and again. But have we tasted the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Have we as a body, have we as a church walked in the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And unfortunately, in love, I believe the answer to that question is no. Not really, or even no, not at all. And so I need the Lord to tilt my heart. Wherever it's callous, wherever it's hard, I'm trusting Him to tilt my heart. Say, Lord, soften my heart. Come and stir my faith again, that I can receive Your seeds of Your Spirit, that I can walk in the fullness of Your Holy Spirit, that I can walk in the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why, you might ask? Well, we're going to look at the foundational principles. I'd like to call it five foundational keys just for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I believe is important before we just rush on. Because you know what? There's a lot of hype and hysteria and sensationalism out there. And I believe not all of that is God. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, for the lack of a better term. And we need to fight for what is truthful and what is pure and what is loving and beneficial to the body and the bride, beneficial to you and me, and what we actually do need. The gifts is gifted to us. Yes, it is grace, but it is something we need. It's not a nice to have. It's not an added extra. It's not some app somewhere down when you scroll down on your phone. It is something that is so important that we need as the bride of Christ. And so let's journey together as we look at these five principles, so that we can be a church, we can be a people that walk in the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we can ask ourselves, or we can look to God and say, Lord, well, where is the gifts? People would love to sometimes point the finger and say, where is the power of the Lord? But I believe it's maybe not in looking to God, it's maybe for me to self-reflect and look in the mirror and look in the Word, to maybe find out, why am I not walking in the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And then say humbly, God, will You empower me? Holy Spirit, will You come and help me to walk in it? Not for myself, not for selfish ambition, but for You. I just realized in preparation that the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not there for charismatic entertainment. The gifts of the Spirit, you'll see today, is love manifested from a good Father. It is Jesus Christ personified. And I want Him to just give us that revelation so that we will build and we will grow and we will desire the spiritual gifts for the right reason and then walk in the power of God. And I'm trusting that You are with me. So the five keys is very simple. First one is faith. I need to make sure, do I actually have faith? Have I grown in faith? Do I know what Christ did, what He said, what the apostles and disciples did in the Word? Have I listened to godly testimonies? Not nonsense, not hype and sensationalism. Not a bunch of things that the enemy has thrown at the church, but no, have I gone for the pure, and has that just stirred my faith? Let's read together in John 7 once again. On the last day and the most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, and that we know. So we know by now, we've said this many times, who has the Spirit? Those who believe in Christ. But I believe there's something more. There's something else also in this part of Scripture for us. If we look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is streams of living waters that will flow from deep within, will gush out from us. And now I need to look at my life, and maybe you can ask yourself the same question. Is there streams of living waters gushing from my belly? Is there streams of living water of the Spirit of God in my life flowing and touching everybody around me? It was so for Christ. It was so for Paul. It was so for the early church. Why not me, Lord? Why not me? And so I look to Scripture, and I read there again in verse 38, "The one who believes in me." I hear faith. The one who has faith. And so yes, firstly, you receive it once off the Holy Spirit if we have faith in Christ. But I believe as our faith grows, our faith very much equate the way in which the Spirit will gush, will flow in our lives. I want to simply say or put it like this. If there's no faith, there's no flow. If there's no faith, there will be no flow. And so I can check my flow of the Holy Spirit and the gift of my life and realize, well, maybe I should grow in faith. If I take the simple illustration of a tap, there's a massive potential in a tap to produce a stream of water. But if it's closed down or even just a slight bit open and it's dripping, drip by drip by drip, it's not sufficient. But once I've opened that tap to its fullest, to its full potential, then it becomes a stream of gushing water. Now, obviously, the same applies to me. As I believe I grow in faith, as the scripture says, we believe in Christ, get to know him through intimacy, get to know him and what he does, and the actions and the heart of Christ, we are opening up that tap to not only have the potential, but to see the potential come to fruition, to touch everybody around us. And so through intimacy, we need to grow in faith. Only you and the Spirit knows where your faith is at concerning the gifts, concerning the stream of living water that can flow from you. So I want to encourage you, pray for faith. Second key, very simply, we need to have understanding and knowledge. Yes, that's right. It's not all emotion. It's not hoenderfleis. It's not mere feelings and experience and encounters. We need to also grow in knowledge. That means we need to read the Word. That means we need to dissect and take it apart. That means we need to fellowship, ask questions, study the Word, study the testimonies, get to know who this Christ is, get to know what he did, get to know all of these testimonies in the Word so that, yes, we have faith, but secondly, we have understanding. Can't just switch off my brain and understanding when it comes to the things of the Spirit and especially the supernatural things of God. Yes, there's place for understanding. It cannot get stuck there. There needs to be substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So this knowledge needs to become a revelation in my spirit as well, that I can live it out. But I also need understanding and knowledge. And so I want to encourage you to learn more. Listen to what we share. Get into the Word. Study the Word. And get to know the things of the Holy Spirit even more so. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says the following. Here Paul is writing, obviously, not directly to us, but indirectly, I believe it's applicable to all of us within context. Now, concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. I do not want you to be unaware. The message says it the following. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked out in our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. So let's be informed and knowledgeable. And then the New King James also says, I want you not to be ignorant. So don't be unaware. Don't be ignorant. Have understanding and have knowledge. That means study the word. That means reading the word. That is asking questions. Not spending a lot of time on Google and YouTube and a bunch of other stuff, looking at other people's thoughts and memes. No, getting into the word of God and getting Him to give you understanding, asking questions, having fellowship, and growing in knowledge. I just realized, again in preparation, some of us might know more than Bri than we do of the things of the Spirit. We might even know much more about tax and how to save tax than the things of the Spirit. We might know investments and how to enlarge your wealth. We might even know more about our hobbies, about golf clubs, rugby stats, mountain bikes, running. We might know more about running shoes than we do know about the Holy Spirit. Church, we need to know and grow in the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we can't know all these other things, but make sure that I don't understand tax and interest rates and economics and hobbies better than I understand the eternal Spirit, the one that gives life. Let us grow in knowledge. The third and very important foundational key I believe that we need when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a desire. A desire. We all know what desire feels like. We all know what desire is in your heart and in your head and how it can just consume you sometimes. A desire for many things. And so obviously as believers we need to desire the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. But again, the Word tells us when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're not just listening because that's what our church is doing. We're trusting that there's a real, authentic desire in our spirit man to know the things of God's Spirit, to know the things of the gifts of the Spirit. John 7:37 that we're looking at as our base scripture today, Jesus starts off by saying, if anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, the scripture says, will have streams of living waters flow from within him. He who is thirsty. It's difficult to give a drink to a guy that's not thirsty. But after a marathon, an energy aid and a water will be gulped up in a moment by somebody that's thirsty. We need to be thirsty. Christ is calling the thirsty to him. He's not calling those that are fed, well fed on other things, quenched, whose thirst is quenched on other stuff to him. No, he says, hey, let the thirsty come to me. Let the one that desires come to me. And so we need to stand still and say, Lord, have I been drinking from other taps that is not you? Have I been drinking and eating other stuff that is taking away my appetite, taking away my thirst for your Spirit, the gifts of your Spirit? Is there stuff of the flesh that I'm drinking and eating that is maybe not your heart? So Lord, come and help me. Restore my appetite. Restore my desire. Come and take over my faculties. Come and take over my heart again, Lord, so that I can thirst for what is pure, what is eternal, and what can give real life, real Zoe life. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Paul then goes on in 1 Corinthians 12:1, and he says, but desire, apologies, at the end, verse 31, he says, but desire the greater gift. But desire the greater gift. So he explains all of that and he says, hey guys, but you need to desire it. It's not just, cool, and nice to have. Cool, yeah, you come up. Yeah, near you come up. That, unfortunately, does not work with our King. That does not work with love himself. That does not work with the one that is faithful. No, we need to trust that the Lord will help us in stirring a desire. Paul also then says in 1 Corinthians 14:1 that just two chapters later, he says the same thing again. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Church, are we desiring spiritual gifts? Or are we just going through a series? Church, are we desiring the spiritual gifts? Or are we just going through this series? I want to be bold and I want to say this in love, and I firstly reflect always to myself. If there's no desire for the gift of the Holy Spirit, don't listen to the messages. Do not listen to the rest of the messages. But go to God and say, Lord, take me back to my first love. Come, Lord. Your word says, I can't be lukewarm. You would either have me hot or cold, Lord, but not in between, Lord. Restore a thirst. Restore a desire for the things of the Spirit, for the things of the kingdom in my life, Lord. I'm honest. And once you realize that He's restored, once I've realized that He's restored that thirst again for the things of His kingdom, the things of His Spirit, then I'd listen to these messages. I make it my own. And I make it my primary focus. As I see Him do that through my life. The Amplified says the following about that verse. Pursue this love with eagerness. Make it your goal. Yet earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gift to be used by believers for the benefit of the church. But especially that you may prophesy, to foretell the future, etc. But that's important. The Amplified says to be used by believers. That's us. For the benefit of the church. And so we're going to get to love just now, but maybe my desire is also to a big degree connected to my love for His church, for His bride. And so if I'm honest and say, Lord, I'm not really that thirsty, I'm just here because I kind of have to be. Stop, put everything down, just stop. And say, Lord, I turn to You again. Restore the desire and the thirst in my heart. And likewise, please restore the thirst and the desire for Your bride. I'm just constantly convicted. I can't say I love Jesus, but I don't love His bride. Because He died for her, being us. That's how strongly He feels about His bride. And so, Jesus, I want to love You, but I want to love people as well. I want to love Your body. I want to love Your bride as well. And when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, help me restore that desire. And I believe through the Spirit, not because of what man may say or some random meme or quick video that you just saw. No. Through the Spirit, He will stir again a desire after spiritual things if I lack. If you are so hungry and thirsty, I want to say yes. More, Lord. More, Lord. The fourth thing is love. And I've already started to unpack that. And let me just quickly read something that I wrote down this week. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not God's special effects. It's not marketing gimmicks or crowd pleasers. It is who He is. The gift of the Holy Spirit is who He is. It is love personified and supernaturally manifested for the greater good of those who believe. Those mostly being His children. It's not special effects. It's not gimmicks. It's not a crowd pleaser. It's not a marketing gimmick. It's not charismatic entertainment. And I don't want to sound harsh, but I want us to be real and authentic about this. Because yes, we can have amazing times with Him. We can see massive miracles. But we want it the way in which He gave it to us. And that is embedded in love. Embedded in love. Not mushed up with the flesh and egocentrics and building a denomination, this, that, and the other, but focusing upon Christ, having faith in Christ, acknowledging Jesus, having been filled with a love and compassion for other people, being moved by compassion as Christ, and then just flowing in these gifts and these rivers of living waters, just flowing because we care, because we love, and because He loved us first. That, I believe, is why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not so that we can say, at our church, this, that, and the following happens. No. So that we can say, Christ died, and He redeemed us. And that work of redemption through gifts flows, and for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of believers, now we can love on others. I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit is very simply to love. To love others. Now, we see this again in the Word. Paul divinely writes to the Corinthians and then indirectly writes to us, and we can make it our own. And he writes 1 Corinthians 12, and he gives us, amongst other, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which you know by now. Then two chapters later, he goes on to write about prophecy being one of the gifts, very passionate about it. Gonna chat about that later. But right there in the middle, he writes 1 Corinthians 13, and we all know what that is about. It is about love. There's a balance and a reminder that when we move, when we desire, when we grow in knowledge, that it will be to love God and love others. And so love is right there in the middle, keeping the balance, reminding us of why we do what we do. By this the world will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And I want to say, Shofar Table View, that we love one another through the gifts, all of the potential, the full potential of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Not only for ourselves, not only for one another, but even for our community. That is why we will prophesy. That is why we will see healing. That is why we will see miracles. That is why we will walk in the gift of faith. That is why we will stop in the shops and give a word of knowledge and give a word of wisdom, because God loves. Because that is who Christ is. We also see there in 1 Corinthians 12, secondly, that divinely Paul writes, and then he writes about the diversity of the gifts. It's different. And God gives to each one as He decides by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on and immediately he speaks about what? The body of Christ. Saying, hey, we've got different members. Eyes, hands, feet. And not one can say to the other that you're more important, I'm more important. But we need one another. We are one body together. Let's not be confused, guys. We need one another. This body, these members need to be attached to one another, needs to effectively love one another. And so he draws us back to a reminder already, sets us up before he goes into 1 Corinthians. Hey, you're one body. You need each other. There's not one member that is not necessary. We need one another. A beautiful picture of love. Why do we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because of love. Because God loved us. And He poured out His love for us. And so, love needs to flow out. And that flow is when we walk effectively in the gifts of His Holy Spirit. Is it so that people can see? Absolutely not. It is not that people can see us. It is so that people can see Jesus. So church, as we have faith, as we grow in knowledge, as we desire, let us love. Let us love effectively. Not to be seen, but so that Christ can be known. That's why we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that is how I think we should approach the rest of this series as we just unpack the gifts. Now, who is Christ and what would the gifts look like in each and every situation? Again, I believe Scripture shows us clearly. And this is what we can look out for. This is as you get touched, as you encounter the Lord, as you are intimate with Him, as you've grown in faith, as the desire is restored, and you're like, yes, looking in the Sunday social, who can I bless through the gifts in me? As we grow in that, this is what we look out for. This is what we can see be made manifest. This is the life of Jesus Christ that we can see through the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Thank you, Lord, that through your gifts, words of knowledge, words of prophecy, that we will bring good news to the poor. He has sent me, He has sent us, and gave us the gifts, the anointing, the Spirit of Christ to heal the brokenhearted. Guys, the potential to be the key for somebody else to heal their broken heart is in you. To proclaim liberty to the captive. You might look around you. You might walk the street. You might think of somebody in your street that is captive. There's a prophecy. There's a God-given prophecy that wants to take them out of the lie, the deception of captivity through Jesus Christ. And freedom to the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance. To comfort all who mourn. The gifts are given to us for the benefit of the body. That through love you can comfort others. Yes, be comforted. Yes, receive love. But also give it through the gifts. To provide for those who mourn in Zion. To give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Where do you see destruction? Take a gift there. Take a Christ-given Holy Spirit gift there. Where do you see ashes? The gift that can bring redemption and beauty to that ashes is in you. It's either a word of knowledge, healing, a miracle, faith that is needed, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, whatever God decides, just maybe a tongue that you need to bring in a certain situation, and the Lord just comes supernaturally and speaks, and it, for the first time, life returns, beauty returns. Feast of oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. Splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees, a planting of the Lord. The potential is in us, but let's be grounded in love. It's not hype, it's not hysteria, but yes, it is exciting, it is zealous, it is beautiful, it's amazing, it's tearful, but it's standing embedded in love, it's standing embedded in Christ, it is standing and embedded in the Word of God. And then lastly, the fifth and final key I believe we can take in as foundational keys for the gift of the Holy Spirit is childlikeness. Remain childlike. We know that Christ said, bring them to me. Unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And guys, we will not see and we won't be able to see the things of the kingdom unless we keep a childlike heart. A childlike heart that stays soft. A childlike heart that stays humble. A childlike heart that sees and lays down control. A childlike heart that does not always have to understand but has faith and trust in God. A childlike heart that is humble. Not as a Pharisee, not haughty, not going to be puffed up when the Lord uses them powerfully. Childlike. Stay childlike. As we grow together in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So today we're just quickly encouraging each other. As we set on this next part of our journey, in getting to know and trusting to be wholeheartedly and solidly empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we will be a people that have faith, that we will have understanding and grow knowledge, that we will study the Word and study good godly testimonies, that we will have a desire, that we will be thirsty, but that we will stop and be honest if we're not, until the Lord restores that thirst for His gifts and for the things of His Spirit. That whatever we do in love, not in the fear of man, not in anything but the fear of God. Doing it in love, and lastly, just staying children of God. So I want to implore you, children of God, do you want to journey with and do you want to walk in the full potential of the streams of living waters flowing from you? And do you want that waters to bless, to lovingly bless all around you? Then tune in again and let's put our faith out to really walk in this fullness of our inheritance. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. You're the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We thank you that what you came for, the Spirit is still here for. What you came for, the Spirit is still here for. To bring liberty, to redeem, to restore, beauty instead of ashes, life and not death. Lord, liberty to the captive, Father God. Joy for those who believe and trust in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help us to stay grounded in love. That you, for everybody that just puts up their hand, me first, that say, we struggle with having that desire and that thirst, that you will just supernaturally come and restore it so that we can journey together. Where we lack faith, please grow us in faith, Lord. And then lastly, thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the grace gifts on our lives. It's not us, it's you. It's you upon us. It's your anointing upon us. Now we just say, we are humble, childlike, faithful, desiring, loving vessels that you can powerfully equip and use in the times to come. Use us. Here we are. Childlikely we say, use us. Help us to go and love others that they can come and meet our supernatural God, our loving Father, and our King Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless, guys. Have a good week. Bye.